What if I told you that all of the questions you have about adult-child estrangement can be simplified to facts? That's what I'm about to tell you. My name is Gia. Welcome to the podcast. So adult-child estrangement is something that is definitely on the forefront of so many of our minds. If you are one of the one in four parents who are navigating the journey of adult-child estrangement, I am about to share with you my 7 years of educating myself on no contact, low contact, civil contact, gray rock, estrangement, and all of the new words that you need to learn as a parent who needs to understand how you can accept this. I know that sounds crazy, but it basically boils down to our adult children are speaking a language that we simply don't know. I can tell you that years ago, we had the equivalent of an exchange student, but she was 8 years old. Her name was Christina, and she was from, and if you don't know much about, here's a quick reminder, Chernobyl. That's all you need to know. So Christina came to the U.S., and she has parents that love her greatly. Christina's an adult now, by the way, but this is many years ago. When she came to the U.S. in the state of Mississippi, and I picked this little 8-year-old girl up at the airport, it was very apparent to me that this little girl did not know one word of English. I was prepared for that, yet terrified. Big surprise, I knew not one word of Russian. But somehow, Christina and I found a way to communicate. We did not speak the same language. She knew how to ask to go potty in English, and that was it. I share that with you because when I dove into trying to understand what the heck just happened to my family, I realized they are speaking a completely different language than our generation. Now, here's the good news. You can absolutely learn this language. And I share this about Christina because one of the funniest things that lots of funny things happened on the summers that Christina came and stayed with us. But I will never forget one summer day we had been to vacation Bible school. And at the time, I drove a Jeep Wrangler and I had the top off. And Christina was in the back all buckled up, pulling into the Walmart parking lot, which next to Walmart, there is a Little Caesars. And this is back in the day when the people stood at the road, like waving the pizza boxes, trying to bring business in. And so here's the Little Caesars pizza guy in full costume, and he's standing at the edge of the road. And Christina yells out of the open door, open top Jeep. She says, "You speak Russian?" And I saw the frustration on her face. She was so desperate for someone to understand her language. She just wanted a conversation that someone understood what she was saying and she understood what they were saying. Now, I use that as an example, but it's really not that far off. Does that mean that if you learn the language of adult-child estrangement, that equals reconciliation? No, unfortunately not. If that is your goal, if reconciliation with your adult child is your end goal, I wish I could say that I have a magic wand and I have the magic formula. Mama, I do not. But what I'm going to share with you is 7 years of educating myself about adult-child estrangement. Many of us are living with adult children who chose to go no contact. And if you are one of those mamas, as I am, that means your adult children very possibly and most likely shared with you for weeks, months, years, their concerns, their frustration. But the reason that you, like me, were blown away when you realized that you were cut off from cell communication, the reason that is because your adult child was speaking Russian and you don't speak Russian. When they said things that in hindsight, you will go back. And when I share these words with you, you'll be like, oh my gosh, he or she did say that. when they say things like boundaries and gaslighting and toxic and all the words that just are words that I'm Gen X and my generation, we didn't use those words. Now, I would assume that if I started speaking to my adult child in 80s language, if I started saying things like totally tubular and grody to the max, they would look at me like I grew two heads, right? What happened is for most of us, our adult children were speaking Russian. And when we didn't understand Russian and we were that little Caesar's pizza guy, they were so frustrated that they just gave up. I am going to teach you how to speak no contact. And I can assure you that this is not something that once you learn it, that you should pick up the phone and try whatever means possible to call your adult child and say, hey, I now know what those words mean. No, absolutely not. But the goal for you, I hope, is to reinvent your life, to learn how to accept our adult children's decision, as excruciating as I understand that decision is, as confusing, as chaotic, as all the words I can use to describe the feelings that most of us feel. When we realize that our adult children do not have space in their lives for their mamas. So let's get started with this now that I've explained to you a little bit about what decoding estrangement is. You will learn in this episode the different levels of adult-child estrangement. I understand that when people say adult-child estrangement, that's everyone grouped into one big bowl. But that is not what modern day adult child estrangement is. You have different levels. And so let's talk about them. Now, when I say estrangement, I want you to think about this. An estrangement is basically when there is a conflict between you and your adult child, and there could have been some huge blow up, some big firework text messaging debate. Or it could have been at the Christmas dinner table. Why your adult child does not want to spend time with you or communicate with you. And so that can be done in that big explosion, or it can be done in more of a whisper, more of a little bits at a time. Some examples of estrangement are if you are estranged from your adult child because, dare I bring it up, political reasons. There are families that are split on that. It could be political. It could be just a difference of opinion in religion, a difference of opinion on gender norms, and even the partner that your adult child chose. It could be something as simple as just you guys had an argument, like I mentioned earlier, over holidays. When we marry and we start building families of our own, if you can think back to that time, for me, I was a very young wife and mama, and just get in the groove of who we spent holidays with. There was a little bit of uncomfortable conversations between myself and my parents and my husband's parents, just learning where we're spending the holidays. That was something that it could have become a big blow-up firework explosion. It did not, but it could have. So that is what estrangement is. Now, with that estrangement, if there is, this is typical, this is not verbatim every case in stone, but the usual is, if there's an estrangement and there is an emergency of some kind, God forbid, if your spouse, your adult child's dad had some type of medical emergency and you needed to pick up the phone and say, hey, your dad's in the hospital, wanting you to know, then you could do that. And that call would go through. Now, whether or not they answered it, I don't know, but you could at least leave a voicemail. All right. That falls in the estrangement category because you are not blocked from communication. Also with estrangement, if you, by the way, I would encourage you not to do this, but if you went to that adult child's home to try to have a face-to-face conversation because you just felt like I'm going to take them their favorite cake and see if they can sit down and have a cup of coffee and let's just talk about this. If you did that and your adult child opened the door and said to you, I am not comfortable with this. Please leave. Then you would turn around and leave, probably cry the whole way home, but you would. That would be an estrangement. Now, if you are a parent who is living with an adult child who made the choice to go no contact, and we'll talk about that later, most likely you would have been dealing with police being called on you and then restraining orders. And if you think that's insane, I can assure you it happens. And many adult children who go that route take great pride in doing that. Just throwing that out there. Okay, so another thing, if you are estranged, is there's no line in the sand, a clear boundary test before communication stopped. So many times, if your adult child is going no contact, they administer something called a boundary test. We'll go back to, do you speak Russian or do you speak English? Because I now know what boundaries are, and I am a fan of boundaries, okay? But when I look back and think about that my adult child gave me a boundary test and I failed it miserably, y'all, miserably, I can realize that had to be a check mark on her checklist of, is this relationship worth saving? And I failed that test. If you're dealing with estrangement and not no contact, there most likely is not a very clear boundary test that you passed or failed. So there also is no discussions with extended family, which if you are far enough along in the journey of no contact or low contact, if you don't know, you will know when I share this with you, before the plug is pulled, before contact is cut off, I can almost guarantee you that your adult child built a support system, which means they went to family members or friends and they shared with that person what their intentions were of going no contact. And they did that because in the no contact movement, in the script, they very clearly say, you are going to need a support system. So think about who that support system will be. And so they, if they're going no contact, there was discussions with extended family or family members. And if you are no contact, I see those lights and those bells and whistles going off in your head. Because as hard as it is to believe, I can promise you that the people who my daughter went to and asked to be her support system. Now, let me say, there was no doubt that my mother-in-law, my ex-mother-in-law, by the way, was number one on that list. And I can imagine the joy and the dancing in the streets that she did when she heard that this was about to go down. But there are also people that shocked the heck out of me that supported my daughter. Now, I don't mean I don't want her to have support. Look, what you'll learn about me, things you will never hear me say. You will never hear me say that I hope my grandchildren do this to her. You will never hear me say she is going to one day regret that she did this to me because her kids will do it to her. I don't want that for my daughter. I don't want that for my grandchildren either. I will say that I'm actually, there's some comfort knowing that she had a support system. There's comfort in knowing that no matter how much I disagree with her feelings that I have no value in her life or in my grandchildren's life, I'm comforted to know that she has that support system. Now, there are family members that didn't surprise me at all. There are friends that to this day, I will never understand how they did this or why they did this. But regardless, they did this. They are her support system. So if it is an estrangement, there most likely was not those conversations with family members, okay? And the great news for you, if you have an adult child that you are estranged with, an estrangement is not set up to be permanent. It is usually temporary. Now, temporary could be 5 years, it could be 6 months, but they do not go into an estrangement period with clear goals on removing you from their life. If you fall into the adult-child estrangement category, I understand you probably don't feel like this is much reason to celebrate. But I will say that's good news. So let's compare the estrangement of adult children to the levels of no contact, low contact, civil contact, and gray rock, okay? We will start with gray rock. Yep, that's a real thing. I'm not making this up. Remember, we're learning a new language, y'all. So if your adult child is going gray rock, that is basically, and I could not understand what the heck was going on when my adult child did this. I now know it is like mystery solved, but dang, I wish I didn't have that as the resolution. So if your adult child is at a holiday gathering with you, which this is October, we are about to get into the Thanksgiving, Christmas time, which for most people is unicorns and rainbows and Christmas carols, but for some people, they are dreading it. And if you are one of those, I want you to know that I have been there, and so many of the moms in this community have been there, and we very well could go there again of sadness and just devastation on those holidays. So you are not alone. Let me say that first. But my experience with Gray Rock, keep in mind, I had no idea what this was. If you're not living it, it just sounds like this is absurd, but it's not. It's real life for me and for you if you're here. So my adult child, it was Thanksgiving, and we had been at my extended family for our usual Thanksgiving meal. Now, my daughter and her family lived in a different state, 8 hours away. So the first really big clue was she stayed with her paternal grandmother. I mentioned earlier, my ex-mother-in-law. Now, keep in mind, I now know that that was ringleader of her support system. They had already discussed this, and my mother-in-law at the time was very well aware of what was going down, unbeknownst to me. My daughter at this Thanksgiving, first of all, she wore a baseball hat, which is not at all the norm for her. She is very much a girly girl and very takes great pride in her physical appearance. And never in her entire life did I ever see her wear a baseball hat. And I remember thinking, oh, she looks so cute. Look at her little ponytail. I had no idea. This was part of the gray rock. She kept that hat bill down. And when I attempted conversation with her, it was the most odd, awkward, weird. There's not enough words to say. I would say things like, are the kids excited about seeing Santa Claus? And her reaction would be, yes. Have they got their wish list ready on Amazon? No. It was there was no elaborating on her replies to me. It was impossible to have a conversation with her. Now look, if you know me, I talk a lot. I use a lot of words, obviously. And I remember thinking, what is happening? And so after that dinner, we had promised our grandchildren to come back to our home and decorate gingerbread houses, which they had agreed to this invitation. I was so excited. Like, we got to my house and I had the table in the living room with all the different toppings. I was so excited to get that time with my grandbabies because keep in mind, I live 8 hours away. Okay, so my daughter, still with the hat on, comes into the home that she was raised in. She grew up in. She sits down at the dining room table with her back to me. No words were spoken. Now, my husband, her dad, and her husband, my son-in-law, went outside. He was showing him something, lawnmower or something, I don't know. And while they were outside, she said some very hurtful and odd things to me. They were very matter-of-fact. They were very clear. And she let it be known to me right then that she would come see her dad all the time if I did not live in that home. Now, I want you to know that I was married at age 19, and I literally chuckled, and I said, your dad, I've been married 25 years, and our house is paid for, so I don't think I'm going anywhere. And never, I thought it was such a weird, mean, odd thing to say, but I never gave it a second thought. Hear me and hear me. I was married 31 years. I no longer live in that home and I am divorced. And I don't know if any of you have this situation, but my adult child wanted to go no contact with me, but very much wanted her dad in her life. And I can tell you that if you are living that, it is, I'm going to say impossible. It is impossible to have a healthy, thriving marriage when one of you is allowed to meet your brand new grandchild and one of you is threatened with arrest if you show up. It can't work, y'all. For me, my adult child very much wanted to go no contact with me, but really at the root of this, she wanted me erased. She wanted me gone. And I am very happy, content, and peaceful in my life, but my life is absolutely nothing like I thought it would be at age 54. I'm in a great relationship. I live in Colorado, 1,000 miles away from the state I lived in my entire life. I no longer live in that home that I raised my children in, and it is a whole new world for me. That is Grey Rock. The point of that whole conversation is Grey Rock was, they literally act like a rock. And what that means is you can ask them questions, but they are not having a conversation with you. You will not get any facial expressions out of them. You will not get any future plans out of them. That is what the no contact movement instills in them. That is the first step, Grey Rock. If any of that sounds familiar, here's the good news. You've got 3 more steps to go before you are completely cut off. And I hope you are finding me at the Grey Rock stage. I'm not saying that we can reverse this, but at least you won't do what I did and do all the wrong things. Because if you haven't heard me say this before, I'm basically here to tell you what not to do, because what I did the first 2 years is the complete opposite of what I should have done. Do I beat myself up over that? I certainly did for about 3 years. Now, I don't give that a second thought because my reaction to this is exactly what my daughter knew my reaction would be. Look, y'all, your adult children, they've lived with you for at the very least 18 years, right? They know you as well as your spouse, if not better. They know your fears. They know your buttons, they know you, mama, they know you. And she knew that devastated at the loss of my daughter and my grandchildren. Like, she knew that. So although I do sometimes go back in my mind and think, oh, Gia, you sure acted crazy. I did. And so my hope is that if you're listening to this podcast, that you will take every opportunity to soak in the knowledge that I am sharing with you that you too could find on the internet if you spent 7 years nonstop researching this. But how about you just hang out with me and I just put it all in one big package and say, here you go, knock yourself out. All right, so that is Grey Rock. After Grey Rock, if they continue to move forward on the path of the no contact path, then they will escalate to something that is called civil contact. And civil contact is simply if you are at a wedding, if you are at a cookout, if you're at an Easter egg hunt, and you both are at the same place. They are not going to turn their back and walk away. They are not going to leave that function. They are going to speak to you. And if you are in front of other people, it will be very polite, very engaging. And other people, if they were watching that, would say, oh, look, they're fine. They're fine. Now, if you speak Russian and she's speaking English, then you're so confused because what just went down with Thanksgiving, right? So then you're at Christmas and they're not friendly, but they are civil. It's like having a conversation with your postman when he delivers your mail. That's what it would be like. Okay. So civil contact is usually a very brief time because they are very clear after Grey Rockin' if they're moving forward. And then low contact, which I believe low contact is probably the most extended period of time that adult children will spend on one of these levels. Because the low contact, they are literally getting everything together. Now, I want you to listen to me. This is a bad sci-fi movie, but y'all, it's not. It's real life. During that low contact phase, they are basically not, they've already gathered their support system, okay? So they know who they're going to call if they're alone on Thanksgiving or Christmas. They know who they're going to call when the new baby is born, and you won't allow your mom to meet that baby, but you need somebody to come and help you. So they have that support system. They got their army ready. You, by the way, are still over here with your head in the sand and have, you're thinking, things are a little weird, but oh, she's just, you know, she's busy. She started her own family. They become adults, right? My daughter and I had a very close relationship, which what I have learned from talking to many of you, that's really the norm. I now know that what we had was a very unhealthy, enmeshed, codependent relationship. By the way, I take full responsibility for that. But the low contact stage, they have their people together, but I really feel like that is a time that they are getting their nerve up. Is this really what I'm going to do? Now, here is a fact that I don't want to share with you, but I must, because I am not the sugarcoater of the no contact movement. If I did sugarcoat this, you would not be in a healthy place after listening to me, because you would still have a lot of this is just a little tiff going on in your mind. But here's the thing about no contact. And if you decide that this podcast is something you want to continue with, you will see this in black and white. Their script is very clear that no contact is not meant to be a temporary fix. Unfortunately, no contact is meant to be permanent. I know, it makes me sick to even say it out loud. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't change and that things won't get better. That doesn't mean that reconciliation is impossible. Of course not. But I'm telling you that before they go full no contact, they are being inundated by whomever their third party is. And there's always a third party, again, for another episode. That third party, unbeknownst to you, is constantly telling them how great their life is without their toxic or narcissist family of origin mom. I know, I'm speaking Russian. We're going to learn it. I promise you're going to learn it. But they're being told that the grass is greener. You just got to get rid of your mom. Now, I can tell you that this is, without a doubt, the most traumatic event in my 54 years of life. And let me tell y'all, I've had some doozies. My adult child going no contact is the absolute worst thing that I have ever survived. But mama, you are going to survive. And I wish I could tell you that, I wish I could be one of those creators that says, find your joy and everything's going to be unicorns and rainbows and Skittles and life is going to be great again. I can't tell you that, because that's my kid, y'all. That's my daughter. And I no longer have those days that I wake up and I'm mad at God for allowing me to wake up. And I'm sorry, yeah, I went there. There will be, if there hasn't already been, some of the darkest days that you will ever see. I'm here to tell you that although my life is not complete without my daughter, it is good, y'all. There is no chaos in my life. I wake up every day excited about what I'm going to do for the day. I have a great life. Now, I miss her. And sometimes I do have days. I'm having one right now, apparently. I have days that I just stay in bed and watch Disney movies and I cry. And that is okay. But don't you stay there, mama, because you are going to learn with me and a whole community of mamas that are living this with you, that we can love them forever and we can love them from afar. because my podcast is absolutely built on facts and my research. Now, I personally believe that if you are a parent who did not abuse or neglect your child, and your adult child was capable of doing this and has apparently no remorse, there's a problem, mama, and the problem is not you. Now, I'm not saying you should not take a lot of time to self-reflect, because Lord knows, I self-reflected so much, I was like, I can't look at myself anymore. I'm tired of looking at all the bumps and bruises and digging down deep and all that, but I had to do it, and you will too. But you will do that at a place that you're ready to do that. And if you are brand new to this, just turn my voice off if it's a lot right now and take this in little segments, because this is a lot, y'all. This is heavy stuff. And you just heard me get emotional because although I haven't had a day that I climbed in bed and watched Disney movies and cried in a very long time, just talking about this, it's emotional. And quite honestly, I think there'd be something wrong with me if it wasn't emotional. I want you to know that if you are at the point that you can't get out of bed and brush your teeth, and you can't go to the grocery store because you don't want anybody to ask what you're doing for Christmas, I've been there. And I have come out on the other side, and you can too. All right, so low contact. And again, I know I go off on little tangents, but that's what this is. This is not like a chemistry class that you learn all these facts and then you take the pop quiz. I heard something the other day on a podcast. A lot of my knowledge comes from them. I heard something the other day that said our minds are only made to comprehend so much content, so many facts. There comes a time that you can learn all the stuff, but you got to have a community that's living it with you to survive it. And so that is what estrangedmom.com and decoding estrangement and these things that I am so excited about sharing with you. That's what this is. Yes, facts are important because knowledge of adult-child estrangement is something I had to have before I could get to the acceptance stage, before I could get to that part. Because people mean when they say things like, you just need to accept their decision, and she will one day regret this, and y'all will work it out. All the things that people say, because they just don't know what to say, y'all. They just don't. But here's what I want you to hear me say about that, which is I can absolutely get down with accepting her adult decision. If her final answer was that her mom added no value to her life and her mom was not worthy of being her children's grandmother, if that is what she thinks of me, I have accepted it and okay. But y'all, I couldn't get to that stage until I knew what the heck am I accepting. I get it. There are people that are amazing at radical acceptance. They don't have to know what they're accepting. They just say, okay, they don't want me in their life, and so I'm going to go on with my life. And y'all, I have, and you will too. But like for me, I knew I had never abused my children. I knew that my whole life was my children. I knew that I had never intentionally caused childhood trauma, and I knew I never neglected my children. If anything, taught our children that our needs didn't matter. I should not speak for you, but I'm speaking for me. Why am I surprised that my daughter felt like I am disposable? I taught her whole entire life that only her needs mattered, because that's my own recovery journey. My own recovery journey of codependency is I just need my kids to be happy. And if they're happy, everything's great. There was no self-care in the 90s when I raised my children. If there were, I didn't know about it. There was no Amazon delivered diapers to my doorstep. There was no DoorDash if I didn't feel like cooking. All these amazing things that our adult children now have access to. There was no app that I could click and have a therapist pop up on my phone. I'm thrilled that those things are available to this generation. But if you're here listening to me, there's a good chance that we're close to the same age. And so all of those things, if I wanted diapers, I had to wash my kids' faces, put their shoes on, put them in the car and go get them. That's what we did. And my children learned from a very young age that mom would go without so that they could have what they need. Now, I want to say that my old mindset was, that's just being a good mom. No, that was teaching them that my needs, my feelings don't matter. So that's what I taught my daughters. If you want to hear about me, I'm going to do a whole episode. It's a really exciting life story, I'm sure. But this is my youngest daughter who chose to go no contact. I have an older daughter. I have two daughters. My oldest daughter and I are very much in contact. She is an adult who lives with special needs and she is thriving. She lives independently in an amazing special needs community. And both of my children are amazing, but one of them thinks I'm great and one of them thinks I had to go. So I want to say that I raised them exactly the same way, but in my self-reflection, I learned, no, I didn't. One of them was quote unquote normal. One of them spent the majority of her childhood in a children's hospital and I slept on a cot next to her. And one of them was home with their dad, who was a great dad, not dogging him. But she did have things in her childhood that if I could have erased, oh my gosh, I would have. But I couldn't. And so I did not raise my children exactly the same way because it wasn't possible to do that. So as I wind this down, I want to just go over a few of the facts of no contact. And y'all, this is hard to listen to. And so I will tell you the great Sherry McGregor, who wrote the book, Done with the Crying, I quote her often. And one of the things that Sherry says is, if you get to a point that this is too hard to read, just put this book down and come back to it next week. I'm not going anywhere. So I'm going to say this about this podcast. This is hard stuff. And as I go into the facts of no contact, if it sounds like this is what you're living, it is going to be very hard for you to wrap your head around what I told you earlier about the no contact movement. That unfortunately, if your adult child is no contact, I am not saying that reconciliation is not a possibility, but I am saying that when they take the no contact step, the majority and the script tells them this is permanent. And if you continue with this podcast, I will show you black and white, website, PDF books, all of the actual, as the kids call it today, the receipts as to what your adult child is believing and what they are moving forward with in no contact. So if your adult child has gone no contact, as I mentioned earlier, there was a lot of planning done before you were blocked from their cell phone and blocked from their social media, which those are the two huge glaring things to check off your list. If you woke up one day and you attempted to text or call your adult child and you kept going to their voicemail and you, like me, were like, oh, something must be wrong with their phone. And then you realized you were blocked. That is the first glaring fact of no contact. You are blocked from their cell phone. If then you go to their social media, which quite honestly, if you are a grandparent, you probably don't go to their social media to see what's going on in their life and who they're going to dinner with, but probably just to take a peep at the grandbabies. If you go and you are blocked from social media, that is another telltale sign. They have gone no contact. I mentioned earlier the third party. Now, there will be an episode about third parties because I want to tell you that for the longest time, my anger, and I'm just going to say it, my hate for the third party, it was out of control, y'all. But I brought it back down and I had the realization that as much as that third party shared all of this with my daughter is an intelligent, bright adult. And she could have said, are you crazy? That's my mama. And she didn't. So third parties can be partners, spouses, coworkers, believe it or not, websites, Pinterest, social media, therapist. Oh man, dare I say it, life coaches, which by the way, I am the opposite of a life coach. Y'all, if you work with me, let me assure you, you do not want me coaching you in your life. What you do want me to do is guide you through estrangement. So let's just call me an estrangement guide I'm your damn tour guide for estrangement. That's what I am. I'm not your life coach. Lord, help me, Jesus. You do not want that. So the third party could be any of that. And honestly, I can't believe I'm even doing what I'm doing by sharing this with you and doing this full time, guiding parents through estrangement, because I was livid when I found out that someone could throw a Venmo up on Instagram and deem themselves a life coach, and our adult children listened to them and paid them hourly to teach them that their parent needed to be discarded. But yeah, that can also be a third party. And most of the time, if I'm being honest, it's a large percentage that it's a social media life coach or even a therapist with letters after their name. Those therapists and life coaches, they have done exactly what I have decided to do. They make digital courses. People buy them. They make a lot of money by teaching our adult children how to destroy their families. And if you turned me off right now, okay, because again, I am not sugarcoating this, y'all. This is a huge money-making business. Adult children going no contact. Now, parents, which is what all of us are, we're late to the party. I'm late to the party, but did I finally say if I can't beat them, join them? No, I finally said, if I Google this, I am inundated with life coaches and therapists telling adult children how to throw their mama away. So I got to get in here and I got to share with all of you how you stay sane after they do that. And yes, I did just leave my amazing job, my whole career, and I may be crazy, but I did that because I don't know what you believe in as your higher power, and that is not what this is about. I am someone who, I don't know, I'm weird. I am definitely a Christian, by the way. I am a Christian who absolutely can tell you that the person who has been the most influential in my life on recovering from this has been a Buddhist, a reverend in the Buddhist faith. So I am definitely a Christian, but I'm not here to bring you to Jesus. Although if you want to go see him, that's great too. But I am telling you that I have never been more clear on my path. And my path is I may be homeless and living in a box, but I am spending at least 1 year trying to educate parents on adult-child estrangement. If my services are something that you feel like you would benefit from, I'm here. And I am giving everything I can away at no cost. There also will be paid options because girls got to pay her bills, y'all. As I mentioned earlier, I was married for 31 years and for the first time in my life, I got to keep my own lights on. So I just left my whole job career and I have absolutely not one hesitation. This is where I'm supposed to be and you are who I was supposed to find. Okay. I didn't mean for that to be like an ad or a commercial, by the way. So my job is or was marketing. So that's what I did and do. I don't know. All right, so that is the third party. Therapists, life coaches, friends. For me, I want to share with you that for me, my daughter had a young lady that I was very excited about her making a friend when she moved to the state of Texas where she knew nobody. And this girl was just lovely. I was there at their birthday parties. Like, I loved her. She went on beach vacation with me and my husband and our families. We went with us, her and her husband and her kids. Like, I really cared a lot about her. I will tell you that the first time I met her and I said, so where are you from? Do your folks live close? Her reply to that was, my mom is a toxic narcissist and I have no contact with her. Let me tell y'all, I said to her probably what everybody is saying to our adult children. I was like, oh, bless her heart. Her mama's crazy. We've got to love on her and bring her into our family. We did that. And so our third party was a friend who, might I also share, is no longer in my daughter's life. So there you go. I don't know who your third party is, but it is completely normal and expected if you are very angry with that person. And I will share with you from my experience, that fades when reality sets in. So a few other facts about no contact is you will hear one of the phrases that you will hear is they are breaking the cycle. Whomever the third party is, they have truly convinced your adult child that you are a danger to your grandchildren. Now, look, I get it. Y'all don't know me from Adam's house cat, but I can tell you, I am of the parents that did time out and not spanking. So let me just tell you, I'd like to give a few shout outs to our generation because we broke some cycles. We just didn't know that was a whole job title as a cycle breaker. We didn't know that. We broke cycles. They believe that because you are a toxic narcissist, one or the other or both, I get the double diagnosis BS. And again, that's a whole lot to unpack there. They believe that because you are that, and because you are bringing generational trauma into their own personal family, that it is their job to break the cycle of abuse. Yes, I said abuse, and remember, we are learning a new language. Their definition of abuse probably differs greatly from your definition of abuse. My definition of abuse is Janet Jackson from Good Times when she was Penny. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't think we can be friends, but that is my version of abuse. I am not saying that there is not verbal abuse, emotional abuse. Heck yeah. My gosh, I'm pretty sure that me and all five of my siblings could definitely say we're in the abuse category from my mom when she had enough and just blew up. But no, I'm not abused. That was just, she had five kids and I don't blame her. We were bad. So they truly believe that basically the head of the dragon must be slayed. And bad news for us, mama, we are the living ancestor that has the generational trauma. And so for them to break the cycle of abuse, then you got to go. I know. Again, this is not a sci-fi movie. This is not the newest. I don't even know. It sounds crazy when I say it out loud, but I promise you, again, we'll talk. I'll show you facts and receipts. If you haven't already seen them, that is truly, they believe that they are cycle breakers. And to break the cycle, you are the point person. I have no doubt that generational trauma is real. There is a lot on my family, both maternal and paternal. But I'm going to tell you that I have always focused on the generational strength of my family. Like, I come from strong genes, y'all, and I'm sure a lot of you do too. Like, I think about my big mama, who was my great grandmother, and I knew her. She didn't die till I was 10. I knew her well. I think about that woman gave birth at her house to six children, five girls, and finally, number six was the baby boy she had wanted and prayed for. She and my big daddy wanted so long. And that baby boy lived 48 hours. And then she shared with me that she remembered laying in bed and hearing my big daddy in his shed hammering. And she said, I knew he was building his casket, so I knew he did not live. Let me tell y'all something. Do I believe my big mama and then my mama Grace, who was my grandmother, and then my mama, that there was a lot of generational trauma they passed on to me? Yes. Yes, there was. But that those women, the generational strength that they had and they passed down to me, that is the reason you are hearing me speak to you on this podcast, their strength. And that is what I will always focus on. And P.S., my big mama did that with no Lexapro. Lexapro on board for you, girl, right here. Okay, breaking the cycle they think they're doing. Now, I'm not giving that a pass, okay? But I'm telling you that if you are banging your head against the wall going, what do you mean that I abused or inflicted trauma on my children? I never laid a hand on my kids. That is what that they're saying. They are saying that you bring generations of trauma, and for them to protect their own children, they have to break the cycle and basically start over. Can you even imagine just saying, okay, I know these women before me that went through horrific hardships, that they had a tough life, but man, I'm just going to erase all that because we got to start fresh. No, ma'am, not me. No, I am so thankful for the women that came before me. I am so thankful for the lessons I learned, those stories that were carried down. And man, y'all, I'm from the South. I got some good stories. Okay, lastly, about the no contact facts. Now, this is interesting to me because in my research, almost always the life coaching slash therapist say they give them a script, an email to send to their parent when they go into contact, if you continue on this journey with me. It's interesting to me that it is rare to find a website or a blog or a life coach that says, just don't tell them. But I can tell you that 90% of the mamas that I have spoken with, we didn't get an email. We didn't get a conversation. We didn't get a chance to heal that generational trauma with our children. There was no, hey, mom, here's this book. And I really wish you would order it because I think this really pertains to our family. There was never that conversation. And let me assure you, for me, if my adult child had said, if you do not do this, you will never see your grandchildren again, that would have got my attention, y'all, and I would have remembered that conversation. But I will say that what I have run across recently is many of the websites and encouragers of the no contact movement. They say, write the letter, but don't send it because they don't deserve an explanation due to the trauma they inflicted on you as a child. So if you received a letter, you're one of the few, and I hope you did, but I did not, and many did not. My daughter went no contact August of 2017. Since that time, we have had periods of low contact, civil contact, and as close to reconciliation as I believe there will ever be. And again, this is not about my story, it's about yours. But let me say that after all that time, finally, in December of 2023, last year, for the first time in 7 years, she finally admitted she went no contact. I expected that to be like a light moment, like angels singing, and see, I told y'all I'm not crazy. But it wasn't. It was not. Because you know what? After all this time, it didn't matter that she said it. What mattered is what I said earlier. I do believe in self-reflection. I do believe in you learning what part you played in this relationship ending in estrangement. I believe that. But what I know is that if an adult child can do that and for 7 years tell every family member, every person that your mom is just crazy and you've never heard of no contact, y'all, that's a problem. That's a problem that if we are going to really get down into it, and if I'm going to do what the three things that adult children want from us, again, we'll talk about that. One of the three things is they want you to apologize for your parenting. Ding, ding. Let me apologize loudly for missing any signs I was given that my child was not getting what she needed from parents. And that I never saw that I gave birth to, raised, will love forever, a human being on this earth that could for 7 years say, I've never heard of no contact. And the whole time, again, Ms. Doubtfire, y'all see, I watch a lot of movies. So I'm sad to say that when she finally admitted that and I had it in black and white in a text message in which my ex-husband was included on, I just felt sadness. I just felt sadness that she has a mama that to this day would quickly give my life for my daughter. And I meant so little to her that for 7 years, she could play mind games with me. Now, I also want to say that this podcast is not about a team parents and team adult kids, okay? I believe that there is no way you can live this without having some anger and some, did you really do that? You're going to have that. I have nothing but love and compassion for my daughter. Because I will end on this now that I've gone through the levels of estrangement. Here's what I will end with. Because if you're wondering how, after 7 years, my marriage ended, I lost my daughter, and somehow, of sane mind, I think, most days anyway, it's this. As her mama, since the day those nurses put her in my arms, all I have ever wanted for my children is for them to be happy, kind, loving, independent women. And the horrific truth is, when I finally took my emotions out of this, which is nearly impossible because we love them, everything we love them with is our emotions. When I took my emotions out of this and looked at this as an outsider looking in. And I said, if my absence makes my daughter happy and content and living the life she wants to live, if I would die for her, why would I not leave her alone? I leave her alone. I contact my daughter twice a year, maybe. That is in the last 2 years I have done that. Now, before that, y'all, I was stalker mama. I was 60 text messages, what in the world, I love you, on my knees in her driveway, begging her to love me again. Look, let me tell y'all, crazy is not a strong enough word to describe what I was the first few years of this. But when she said these words to me, and again, this sounds like I am bashing her and saying she's a bad person. That is not what I'm saying. But my daughter said to me about 2 years ago, when I reached out to her, when I see you or hear your voice, I cringe. Those words stuck with me like nothing has ever stuck with me in my life. I don't know about y'all. I don't want anybody to cringe when they see me coming. Do y'all? I don't. And it occurred to me, Gia, what the hell are you doing? If she does not want you and you literally make the girl cringe, love her from afar. Wish her well. Twice a year, reach out. Just say, hey, I know you're cringing, but I love you and hope you're doing well. You can get to that point. It is a point that you don't have to lose hope of reconciliation, but y'all don't close that door, but y'all stop standing at that door and begging them to walk through. Because I've never played hard to get in my life. I told y'all I got married at 19. But as weird as it is, I didn't mean to play hard to get with my kid. But if ever she was going to want me again, it would be when I started respecting the fact that she simply sees no value in me. I have people in my life that all they see is value. And if I'm being honest, I was not a good friend. I was not a good mom. I was not a good spouse. I was not a good anything to anybody for about 4 years, because my only thought on this entire world, every second of every day, was trying to get my daughter to love me again. So I ignored all these people who were standing there going, but we think you're great and we love you. Like, why are you so adamant that the one person who sees no value in you, why is that all you think about? Because I'm going to be honest, that is not my proudest moment. And it was years. I missed two Christmas mornings with my daughter, Gracie, who I won't ever get those Christmas mornings back, but I couldn't get out of bed because I was so devastated that one daughter was perfectly fine with me laying in bed thinking of ways to leave this earth. But the daughter that was sitting in my living room and praying for her mama, I will never be able to apologize to her enough. I hope that this episode has in some way explained to you what adult child estrangement is in modern day. And this is not my opinion. This is factual information. This is about sharing with you the information I gleaned that helped me reinvent who you hear today. If this has in any way been helpful to you and you would like to continue this journey with me and others in this community, check your email. There'll be some opportunities coming up. And I really look forward to meeting each and every one of you, either virtually or maybe in person. But I want you to know that you are not alone. And on those days that you feel alone, come click play, because this podcast isn't going anywhere. This episode is not going anywhere. It'll be in your inbox until you delete. And I'm right here. I will see you soon. And don't forget to mark on your calendar November 3rd. You are going to be okay. Thanks for joining me.